Hello and welcome to another edition of Up at All Odds, the QPR podcast that brings you all kinds of happiness and fun throughout the season. And there is never any doubt that QPR would, of course, stay up with a game to go. And we just like to worry people for no apparent reason other than the fact we just like to test our tickers and resolve. And there you go. So on the night tonight, we have Hugo the dog, who's currently having to be sat beside me before he boxes his way through the podcast as usual. Newbie we have is Jimmy Parr. Hello, Jimmy. I know more of your family.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's very interesting to come on. Been listening forever. Luckily enough, Simon's voice makes me go to sleep. I just wanted to come on and thanks for having me on.
That's good. Hey, I like it when a newbie comes on and slates somebody straight away. That's always quite good. Let's go. Welcome. Straight into it. We have George Sharp, who's now doing his GCSEs on all things QPR, probably. On George. You all right, George?
Yeah, you're right, Paul. Well, I was more focused on QPR than revising, to be honest. So that's where my focus went.
Luckily, your dad knows this and no shock when he listens to this back then, eh? And, of course, we have... Now, this is a bit weird, because Simon's decided that the podcast needs structure. This will be interesting. So he's given us an agenda, dear listeners. We have an agenda. not one to let these things get in the way. So, yes, Simon Hall is back. And take it away, Simon, with the agenda.
Hello, mate. Good to see you. And if you knew how to edit, I would be hoping you'd edit all of the bits that I've said all of the way through the season where I thought we had absolutely no chance of staying up or anything like that. And yeah, absolutely delighted that we're at a stage now where it's going to be a very happy, very positive pod.
Can I just say something? The fact that I can't edit is actually nothing to do with anything other than me being, I can't, can I? There's no point. There's no bullshitting around it, is there? But next season, I'm actually taking a course on YouTube. Oh, yes. I'm going to learn all things podcast, and George is going to teach me as well because he's quite an expert in these things. And he's even newer than them millenniums he is. So he's very techie. Now, George, despite the fact that Simon's just laid his arse off because I've been in a car with him and he thought we're actually shot to pieces and we were down and finished and probably heading for the National League, are you surprised, relieved, or just thank God we got here?
Well, obviously you've got a bit of relief, haven't you? Like, ever since Marty's come in, you've seen the steps that have been taken forward, and it's just incredible. And there was a point, and I think, what's it called? But it was the Birmingham at home game, I think, when Jimmy Dunn scored that goal. I had that moment where I was like, yeah, I'm pretty confident we're staying up now. And when we got to that point where we're on 47, 48 points, around that sort of amount, I was like, I know it's the QPR way, but there's not a chance we can bottle this. So I was, towards the end of the season, I was getting more and more confident of our survival. So definitely more relief than anything else, but definitely excited for next season.
Jimmy, same question.
Yeah. Just as what George Sharp said, I think as Marty came in, we was fine for relegation. Despite our previous managers leaving us in an awkward position. He sort of kicked up the players and sort of, instead of, fighting for goals, we've sort of been fighting for ball possession. And since my Swenters came in the team, I've noticed a huge change in how we play, the dynamics, the formation, even the players' reactions and how they step on the pitch compared to step in off the pitch and in the training ground. Yeah, seeing like all the posts on like social media. Yeah, I think Marty's done a good job. And just hope that, it's despite us winning all the games at the end of the season, just wish Marty came in earlier. And yeah, we could have, could have been saying, oh, we've been going to the Premier League, but hopefully next season comes, and if Marty stays, then I've got my hopes for top 10, top 5.
See, you're going down there. I mean, I was Well, I got a wee bit tipsy, as one does after Friday. Hello, stupid cough. I went to pub and went home and was in the Irish bar, blah, blah, blah. But it was more relief. But what I did love more than anything is asking the Leeds fans on the way home if they wouldn't mind showing me the T-shirt that said champions on it. They seemed very reluctant to do that, bless them. I saw on Twitter and that they were coming to the game with a little champions T-shirt, bless them. So, but didn't seem to want to show that love after the game. I've got to say, I'm going to come on to QPR in a wee second, but the Leeds fans are a disgrace. Not just the booing of the whole mock Prince speech, which was blatantly ridiculously stupid to say we couldn't hear it. Well, yeah, okay, whatever. It was dumb. Fair play to the supporters' trust for Colin Knight, but Colin trying to make the excuse was poor. There's no excuse. End of. But leaving when you sort of guaranteed a playoff space, just shit, isn't it? Simon, I mean, if we ever get like that, can you punch me in the face? Because I'd hate our fan base to be like that. I hope to God we're never that sport that we're heading towards the playoffs or even automatic promotion. And we just leave because we're having one bad game.
Yeah, I mean, what was it? 3-0 and marching out together, weren't they? It was absolutely ridiculous what they were doing. And I have to say, I've taken quite great pleasure. And I know a few Ipswich fans. And yeah, it's given me great pleasure that we're probably the team who have ensured that Ipswich are probably likely to get automatically promoted now and Leeds in the playoffs, and they generally struggle. And to be fair, Leeds have got about £190 million of unpaid transfer fees. So to be honest, they're going to need to go up. Otherwise, there's going to be big sales next season. But yeah, going back to...
I didn't know that. Is that true, Simon? Obviously it is, because you wouldn't say it. Oh.
Yeah, that is true. Oh. They've got a lot of unpaid transfer fees going about. And that was the reason why a number of the people like Jack Harrison and so on were being loaned out to Everton. They were trying to get rid of Ginotto as well. So there's potentially trouble on the way for Leeds, particularly if they don't go up next season. But yeah, going back to the fan thing and the excuse that they made about them not, yeah, we couldn't hear it. I mean, I don't know anyone about you. If I can't hear anything, the first thing I'll do is boo. It was an absolutely ridiculous reason. And yeah, it topped off, but going back to the QPR bit, it topped off a really great night. And I just want to ask the question, because we were racking our brains in the pub after, and we were thinking about, when was the last time QPR had such a complete display? And genuinely, I'm looking back. Yeah, maybe you could think the Cardiff 6-1, but beyond that, I think we're looking back a decade or so at least that we played that well, that consistently for 90 minutes. I think it's a long, long time. So for the lads, I know obviously we're slightly more wizened, but have you ever seen a display as good as that consistently for 90 minutes?
Yeah, you'd have to go back to Warburton, you have to go back to Warnock, and a couple, as you say, the Cardiff game. Swansea, we battered them. I think there was a couple during lockdown, wasn't there? That George, you got a good memory. What do you think?
Well, I'm trying to think myself. I can't think of a thing where we've won 4-0 at home or something like that so convincingly. Like, I saw a stat about it somewhere. It was like the first time in a good 2-3 years. Like, it was Leeds' heaviest defeat of the season. So I can't think of a time personally. As Simon said, you've got that period around New Year's, I think it was, when we beat Swansea and Cardiff. But apart from that, no, I can't think of anything.
I mean, we took them apart. I mean, and I was surprised at the possession stats, because someone told me, because you'd be surprised, no, I don't know anything about stats, I don't care. You just score more than they do in my world. They had quite a lot of possession. I think they were shocked. I think they were bewildered, but that's not to take anything away from us. I mean, I know Sky Sports did their best to try and do that, but I don't know about you, Jimmy. I thought that we deserved a lot more praise, and Juventus certainly deserves a lot more praise than what he's getting sometimes. And I thought the question at the press conference, I don't know who asked it, was, are you going to Sunderland? It's like, can we just have 5 fucking minutes to enjoy the win, to calm down without saying, oh, you're going to bugger off to Sunderland? Ridiculous question. Jamie?
Just to answer from your last question, I think the last time I saw that performance was Stoke City, where we beat them 4-2. Otherwise, I'm going back to last season where we beat Burnley at Turf Moor. But that's the only two
Well,
events
that was
I
more
could
like the
think
Alamo.
of.
Burnley was more like the
And
Alamo.
yeah, I think, yeah, from the last question, I think it has to be Stoke City. Where we beat them 4-2, especially where we came up on top. They drew 2-2, I think, and then within 10 minutes went 4-2 up. Game finished 4-2 to us.
You can't really argue that, can you? Carry on. What did you think about the way Rangers played overall?
I like I said with Mike Fuentes, I think he's done well, and unfortunately we have played and the season is coming slowly to an end. We could have, you know, done it against Sheffield Wednesday. But the problem with QPR is that we're playing good against the teams that are fighting for promotion or about to get promoted. And then compared to Plymouth, Sheffield Wednesday, we're losing silly games. And I don't know if it's because of mistakes or...
No, we've always been that way. I gave you Man United Old Trafford 4-1 and getting battered in the cup by Southampton a mere 3 or 4 days later. It's what we do, Jimmy. You know that. Your family will tell you the same thing. Only QPR could beat, but well, could beat the team that's going up Leicester, beat Leeds, and give Ipswich a good game at their gaff as well, which we should have won as well, funnily enough. Sorry, carry on.
No, that's really it. I think
it,
we
enough.
Just played brilliantly, and it's just one of the best games we played. And yeah, from this season, yeah, we just ended it on a high note, and hopefully for Coventry, we'll be even more better.
I think Saturday's is going to be a big festival of happiness. George, thoughts on the performance?
Well, I thought assured, to be honest. Like, I went into the game quietly confident. I'm not going to take anything away from my dad either. He's been saying it for months, we were going to beat Leeds. He said if we needed a win at home, then we were going to win. So whatever he says goes, I guess. But whatever he says goes. But no, as you said, Paul, we only had 39% of the possession, but you wouldn't have thought it. Starting off the game like that, Chair's goal, I know it took a deflection, but the quality he shows, like you saw it against Rotherham away as well. It's just... He always does it, and like people say, he's like too one dimensional, always cutting in. But if he does something like that, I don't care. And you got Anderson getting his first goal for the club. Obviously, you had the handball shout before, but that don't matter, does it? Realistically, another calm, assured finish, and then you had two headers from two set pieces, I think it was, and that's just incredible. Sums up what a change Marty has done. You looked at it at the start of the season. I'd make a bet on how many corners hit the front post. One of the games, it was all of them. So it's nice to actually be threatening from set pieces. And I think that's just a mini example of like how far we're going forward, like as a club on the pitch. Like Leeds' performance, they just didn't show up, I don't think. I don't think any of their big players showed up. You look at it, Somerville, supposedly the best player in the league. Jimmy Dunn still emptying out his pockets. But then Willie Gnotto didn't do anything. Jorginho Ruta had that chance where he pulled it wide in the second half. That could have really changed the game to make it 2-1. I definitely would have been on the edge of my seat then. But no, apart from that, we had 5 shots on target, scored 4 of them. So, yeah, it's good to actually be clinical for once, isn't it?
I'll tell you one thing. They'd have been better playing Jimmy Somerville. Never mind him. That's what a joke for the oldies. I don't expect you youngsters to get it. Simon, did you get that joke?
I did get the joke, yes, and I think going back to what others are saying, and we've been critical of a couple of players in particular over April, and I know a lot of the fans have been Dykes and Begovic, and I think we can link in with the Preston game. Begovic, to be fair to him, has made up for the flap at Plymouth. I mean, that save against Preston,
yes,
potentially going 1-0 down in what's potentially a very nervy occasion, that's the sort of thing that we'd want to see from him. He came out sharply, save that one, and credit to him, he made two pretty decent stops against Leeds when it was 1-0 and 2-0. I mean, the first one, the parry, which Powell did very well to deal with, but the second one, which they took quite quickly, he got down very well there. So again, if we're being critical about people, you have to give them credit when it's deserved, otherwise the criticism doesn't become valid. And I think the same could be said for Lyndon Dykes. Last that goal basically against Preston has given him loads of confidence. And we've all said about being in the right place in the right time. And to be fair to him, he was. And look, we'll be going on later on to see what we need to do, what we might potentially need to change. And there is still a question about whether Dykes has a long-term future with us, long contracts or not. But again, the performances he's shown in the last two games are exactly the performances we wanted to see from him week in, week out. And at an important time, he's ended up delivered. So again, it's right to give him credit for what he's done as well.
The one thing I noticed, and this is more for the manager really, is start of the season, Watford 4-0, players walking off, the boos and all kinds of, and just an absolute shit show. And Friday, you win 4-0, and I think that just sums up the difference in managers. I mean, I'm not going to slip Ainsworth too much because I'm sure he tried his best, but it just wasn't working, and people like George called it way before I did. But it just shows you how much the players have got respect from as well, and the togetherness in the team is almost where it should be, where you expect it to be. But my God, they took us on a journey to get there, and I think the turnaround in Jimmy Dunn, Clark Salter, all these people, it's no coincidence, you know. And as you said, Lyndon Dykes, I thought it was his best game of the season, I'll be honest with you. He looked like a proper centre forward, and he was also chasing back and jumping in and arguing with the referee, which hadn't over well. That aside, Simon, I'm sticking to the agenda. I will not go off topic. Clark Salter, Player of the Year. And because Simon thought of the agenda, I'm going to ask George. What do you think?
I completely agree. Players' Player of the Year had to be. And then, obviously, Supporters' Player was Steve Cook. But it could have been either of them two, I believe. Completely changed our season around them two at the back. I think I saw someone, were they second or third? Like partnership or something like that, third in the league. Yeah. So that just shows, didn't it? And I've said it so many times on these podcasts. The one thing Mick Bill got right is that on his day and when he's fit, Jake Clarksall is one of, if not the best left footed centre back in the division, in my opinion. And Steve Cook, any team he's gone to, he's just looked so solid, isn't he? Like, you looked at it with Nottingham Forest, with Bournemouth, and now with us, he's just, it just shows real quality. And obviously he doesn't have the pace that he used to or never really had, but he's got the IQ and he's got the brain and he just looks such a good defender at this level. And if we can go into next season keeping them two fit, it gives us such a good foundation, doesn't it? And I just think it proves how far we have come. You look at the start of the season, the amount of stick Jake Clarksall was getting because of his injuries, and rightfully so. He wasn't playing for ages, constantly getting injured. But I'm so happy for the lad, really. Like, he deserves it. When people come out saying, oh, he don't care, I think that was absolute BS, personally. Like, it's just so good to see. But my frustration, if there's a little bit of frustration with the Clarksall to Steve Cook thing, is why couldn't Steve Cook have come instead of Deion Sanderson that January window? Think about where we would have been now if it was him instead of Deion Sanderson. So that's my one little frustration. And when I spoke to him, he did say something was on the cards there, but can't do anything about that. You got to think about the present. And this season, him and Jake Clarksall have been immense.
Well, basically, Forest blues out of water with money. Carry on.
I think that's exactly right. I think it's, yes, as Forest used to do at that time, was we'd have a transfer target and then Forest would pay a lot more. And again, you're right, it's a sliding doors moment if we'd have got him. But I think from my perspective, there's a couple of things. Firstly, I actually went the other way. I went Cook Player of the Year, but I'd have had no qualms whatsoever with Clark Salter. But what I want to ask is, Jake Clark Salter's in the second year of a four-year deal. He's done the longest stint at any club he's been at this season for injuries. And by all accounts, well, in some press, there's interest from him from other clubs. And the question I'd like to ask you is, given the mistakes we made 2 years ago with not selling players in their prime, what would be your opinions on if we needed to sell Jake Clarksall in the summer, and how much would you want?
Well, you got to think about it. Football's a business at the end of the day, and players are antiques. You've got to know when to sell them at the right time. And I think You're right. We did learn that the hard way with the likes of, you don't know if someone's coming for Willock at some point, or you don't know any of these players that we have. We could have sold on. But I think if someone comes in with a substantial bid for Clark Sutter, something around, I would take a good 4 or 5 million for him. I think that's a reasonable amount. Like, I don't see why you wouldn't take the money, to be honest. Like, you could get in a couple of loan signings with that, a couple of foreign players if you wanted to. So, yeah, I definitely would take it. I don't see the point in holding on to him and taking the risk of him getting injured again, and that's all that money down the drain.
Of course, it all depends on the Eze money and whether they get rid of him to Palace. I mean, Palace get rid of him, which would be a nice little windfall. We would have a choice, Simon. The reality is, if Newcastle, who's rumoured to be looking at him, and other ones come in with a bit of a seven, well, you'd like to think over 12 million, because you see that. But you see with players, I mean, look at that Shaw that Chelsea's brought this season. You know, even for, and you look at some of the other Championship players who are not up to it. The only thing that, you're right. Realistically, his injury record is not going to do us any favors in the transfer market, so that might bring the price down dramatically. So maybe better off staying another season with us, see what Marty can do, and then we've still got another year in his contract. And we can, but yeah, we won't have a choice. But decent offer comes in. I think the new CEO as well. He knows what he wants. He knows the value of things, and he knows what he's prepared to sell. Well, he live and die by his decisions in the transfer market. We won't know the contract deals, of course, which is a bit annoying, because people, believe it or not, like to write these things down and keep a record of it, especially someone like Dalot, who you can't wait for him to leave. Jimmy, sorry,
Yeah.
Simon, you were going.
Yeah. So, what you reckoning, Jay? What would you think of who you thought Player of the Year was, and what would you do with Jake Clark-Sutter with 2 years left on his contract?
I would actually give the Player of the Year to Sam Field, to be honest with you.
Ooh. Great
Sam
shout.
Field or even Sinclair Armstrong, especially the goals he scored against Leicester when he came in from a cross from Ilias Chair, straight in within 2 minutes of him playing, two, I think it was 2-1 to QPR at that point. So yeah, I think Jack Clarke-Slater does deserve it, but in my books, I think Sinclair Armstrong or Sam Field. But
What in particular, and I agree with you that Sam Fields actually brought a lot more to his game, which is credit to Cifuentes. What do you think Sam Fields brought to his game, which is more than it has been at the start of the season under Ainsworth?
I think from the start, I think the whole team should like. I wish every player should get Player of the Year, but yeah, I think everyone should get Player of the Year. But in my books, Sam Field should get it from the start. He didn't really, pass it through ball to the strikers, and now I'm seeing him play. He's scoring goals. He's making the runs. But yeah. And I've noticed as well that the whole team itself is performing really good, improving, and yeah.
To be fair with Field, I think there was that clearance he did, and there's been he's winning with a couple of goals. Yeah, I mean, you could there's a case we made for the three of them. I think it's too soon for Sinclair. I think winning Young Player of the Year again, simply because he is only the young player just actually doing anything. So it's more by so hopefully he'll get a run for his money next year. It's difficult because mentally, I think the squad was shot to pieces, and we've got to bear that in mind. And I think we've got to be mindful of the fact that they were dead on their feet. You know, they've been called out for being this, and people in the podcast, myself included, what is wrong with these people that they're not doing it? They don't look together. And then of course the statement came out: all the players are broken. They're this, that, and the other. Maybe they were just confused. Maybe they were just fed up. But you can see where Marty has come in. He's galvanized is a very small word for what he's done. But he has. I mean, I put on Twitter the other day, Jesus walks into a bar, someone says he can do a miracle, and Marty says, hold me beer. Because, what he's done at QPR is nothing short of a football miracle. And I think it's been noted. It has been noted in the football world. You go onto any of the magazines, you go onto anything about the Championship, and he is, without shadow of a doubt, being looked at. He is without shadow of a doubt being noticed. But he's not, the good thing, he's not stupid. He's not a Bale. He will not he's got a job to do at Rangers, and I'm hoping that he will do another season at the very least, because it's exciting to see the team move the way we're moving, the pass and the belief that, look at the differences made in the defence. It's incredible. You know, we couldn't defend a none the way we were going, and he's changed that, and slowly but surely, which brings us on to the next subject, I believe, Simon, or have I jumped the gun?
No, and I think what we've said, it's very exciting, potentially, what's going to happen next season. We've already alluded to the Eze money, potentially. Palace already saying minimum of 60. And by all accounts, two or three sides already interested. So, potentially 12 million, and who knows what happens if we sell Clark Salter. It's potentially transformative for a club like ours, 17, 18 million pounds. But I think we can't look away from the fact that there's going to need to be a lot of overhaul in the summer. And we've got about 11 players. We've got 11, 12 players out of contract. And we're thinking, obviously, Albert Adama's already said that he's going to be leaving. And it's quite nice to see that we've done that before the end of the season so we can say goodbye to him properly, which I think is something we've learned from Clint Hill, Ali Fallin, Neda Manua. So that's quite a nice, classy personal touch, which maybe hadn't happened in the past. Out of all of the players out of contract, is there anyone genuinely you would want to keep at all?
Well, got to be Jimmy Dunn, first of all. Shout out, Jimmy Dunn should be re-signed immediately. Hopefully that's an ongoing situation. I've kind of forgotten who else there is. Albert, of course, is, but I think Albert, I'll be surprised if he carries on playing. I think maybe coaching would be for him, or maybe drop back down to somewhere he feels more comfortable with as he draws in his career.
You got Willock, which I think is a thing. I think he wants a fresh challenge. Like, I think you would have heard by now if he signed a new contract with QPR. So it's a sad one, because you've seen him near the back end of the season, and he's been absolutely quality. But I think his time at QPR is coming to an end, and I think he'll want a fresh challenge somewhere else, because at the start of the season, you could say treated the best. I think the fact that you got 2 minutes away at Watford at the start of the season is disgusting. And I think, since Marty's come in, he's been a completely changed player. Everyone can agree with that. And I think under Ainsworth, people were under the expectation that he should be putting in these big tackles and everything like that. But he was never going to be like that. So I think,
I disagree, actually.
What do you disagree with?
I think he has pulled out of shifts, even under Marta. He hasn't been constant enough for my liking. I think his agent, his dad, is absolutely ruining him. And he needs to ignore his father or whoever's around him and focus on the talent that he is, the ability that he has, and listen to someone like Cervantes, who can restore his career in a minute. Sorry, carry on. But that's my personal opinion.
I completely agree with you. There have been stages under Marty where he hasn't put in a good shift. He's just losing the ball too many times. But I think we'd be foolish to compare him with the Willock we had at the start of the Mick Beale of that season.
Oh, God, you're right.
So I think if you're thinking about how he was at the back end of last year and the start of this year compared to now, you think about it, he's got some crucial assists. He's put some good balls in the box. He looks like he's beaten people a couple of times. So, and I think it's quite nice that the whole crowd and the whole social media aren't necessarily picking up on him anymore, because I don't think he ever necessarily deserved all of that. Yes, every player deserves a little bit of stick if they're struggling, but I think at points it was disgusting.
But don't you think he'd be better off staying for another season?
I completely agree with you. No, I completely agree with you. And you're right about his agent, his dad. But I think, as you said, his dad may have been in his ear saying, oh, you've got to have a fresh challenge, Chris, and everything like that. But I think he'd be better off staying for a year. But then you've got to think about the money side of it as well. Who knows what sort of wages he'll want next year and everything like that. So I think it is a real shame, but I think it's been decided for a while in his mind and in the club's mind that he'll be moving on. I had hope at one point that he was going to stay, but I think in the last couple of weeks, I haven't heard anything about him signing a new contract. And with these things, when these big players sign on, you usually hear about it. So,
trouble is, he'll go to somewhere like Sunderland or Borough or somebody else, maybe like that, though. And I don't think that's a move that he deserves. Whereas at Rangers, the small pitch helps him. The fans know him. He's got nothing. We know what a great player he is. I just think he'd be making a mistake to go to another championship club when he's got the perfect manager. But I'm biased. I should shut up. Sorry. Carry on, George.
I completely agree with you, Paul. I think that he'd be foolish to leave to another championship club. Like, why would you? It's not like you're going up a level. Like, my only thing is the money, I think. Mm-hmm. I think he'll want about, what, maybe 25,000 a week or something like that. And why would you pay that with his injury record and everything? If you're the club and Marty's got an idea about some Scandinavian winger or some Premier League loan player, you could get two loans on them wages. And I think...
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah, I just think it's been a decision made a while ago. And as you said, it's a real shame. It'll be a shame not to have him playing for us anymore, but I think he'll want a fresh challenge.
Who else would you keep?
Ooh. That's the thing. You've got Armstrong, who's out of contract at the end of this year. But
we've got another year or two, and we got it triggers
no, he had a year extension last year. He's completely out of contract this year. But I've got a feeling he's signed on.
Mm.
I think I saw in his agent's Instagram a couple of months ago, he posted something on there about it. But no, I'll be shocked if he don't sign on. Listen, you could get interest from other championship clubs, potentially Premier League clubs, but as you said, Paul, like, you have the best manager in Marty to guide you. Like, why wouldn't you? And, like, if he can bring in a couple of strikers, you can teach him his ways. Because what you're forgetting about, at the start of the season, we were so reliant on him to get us goals. Like, we went into the season with him, Dykes and Kelmis, our strikers, for Christ's sake. Think about the amount of pressure on that. So, I think he'll be one of the ones who stays. But apart from that, I don't know, like, you've got Asmir Begovic, he's out of contract, but I think he'll go. And listen, I think he's pulled off some good saves this year, but a couple of the mistakes he's made. And I think as he gets older and older, I'd much prefer maybe a young goalkeeper or a keeper we've never heard of, someone who's more comfortable playing out with his feet. And I'm not saying Begovic hasn't done all right with that. He's surprised me in the fact that he can actually pass the ball out from the back, because when Marty first came in, that was highlighted as one of my biggest issues. So I think that Begovic will move on. But apart from that, I don't think why you'd keep anyone else.
Birdos, Jimmy?
Yeah, just keep Sinclair Armstrong as much as we can. He came from Aldershot, I believe, and I've got a mate who's an Aldershot fan, and he's telling me, Sinclair Armstrong is much better. And he keeps on telling me, we want Sinclair Armstrong back at Aldershot. So I think as much as I want to keep Armstrong, I think he is a Premier League sort of player. And following from what George was saying, I know Liverpool's after him. I'm not sure fully on that rumour. But I saw something on social media about Liverpool with Sinclair Armstrong. But following from Armstrong, Begovic, I'm not sure. I think he has his time with Chelsea, with winning the Cup and Everton. And he's just more focused on his goalkeeping training academy that he does. And the money he gets from that, which, to be honest, is a lot of money, 50 quid or some sort of 45, 50 quid per child for training.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And Willock, as much as I want him to stay with him and Chez, chemistry on the pitch and outside pitch, I don't know. I would like to keep Willock and Armstrong, but we'll see how it goes. But I would like to suggest that Dykes should go, only because since Marty came, he's changed. And not being rude, with his mistakes that he's been making, I think his time's up. And I think, like, even if he goes to like Stockport or somewhere where he feels comfortable on playing, and yeah, but I've noticed as well Charlie Austin as well. I know he's been released from Swindon. I don't know if we could bring him back for the third time. I mean, I know he's a club legend with all the goals they scored in 2014, bringing us up to the Premier League. And I know he was a bit upset on the fact that he left on the second time he came to the club. Don't know if we should bring him back. That's just my idea. But I mean, if we do get rid of Dykes, who else do we bring?
Well,
I
could be
mean,
somewhere. But just to be
I'm.
clear, before we get people on Twitter and shouting at us, Sinclair came from Shamrock Rovers, I believe, in the League of Ireland. He was a loan at Aldershot, just as far as I know. I could be wrong, but I'm
No,
pretty
that's
sure
right. You are
that's
right,
right.
yeah.
It was Shamrock. But yeah,
Yeah, that's right.
as for Austin, I think that boat sailed a long time ago, bless him. And there's no denying it. I just think that let's not kill another legend. That's what I would say. He's done well. I think the fact he's been released by Swindon surprised me, though, I have to say. But
Yeah, especially with his recent goals and.
I'm more shocked at Chris Martin, to be honest with you. Flipping heck, he's been tearing that league up.
Yeah, we just
Simon.
got to think.
Sorry, George, what?
No, I was just
George.
going to say, you just got to think about levels, don't you? Like Chris Martin, he's just a ball, like he's a natural goal scorer. If you stick him in a half decent League One team, you can put balls into the box. You're going to score double digits in a League One season, aren't you? So.
Oh, with a voice of reason. But I've done my bit, and then we're sticking to, yeah. This is good, Sam. I like in this format. I am liking this format. We should have tried this 12 years ago. I think David Fraser did, to be fair to him. I just talked over him. Simon.
Yeah, I think I totally agree with it's a great opportunity now that we've survived to actually try and do another rebuild. And it's probably a similar situation to 2019 when Warburton first came in, where we released a good 15, 16 players,
Yeah.
and we were obviously concerned about how we were going to get on. And he brought in 12, 13, and you could actually argue, particularly given Eze, Samuel, Hugo Wells, we probably slightly underachieved finishing mid-table that season. I mean, we were making a playoff push before COVID. But I'm quite excited for where we're going to go. And you think about the full signings we made. Haydon's obviously brought an air of professionalism and also an air of competition, more importantly, into centre midfield. And you've noticed with that, Colback's raised his game significantly. And again, we've been critical of Colback earlier in the season. He's upped his game. Field has upped his game. And most importantly, brought goals to the table. The fact that he's got four goals in the last sort of like couple of months or so is a real bonus. And things that easy wins we've been talking about from our team. And that's been really good. And to be honest with you, the vast majority who are out of contract, yes, definitely Jimmy Dunn. I'd agree with you on Armstrong enough. Again, I think he's probably got a deal. I think Willock, realistically, in an ideal world, maybe 2 years, but I suspect the call of someone offering 20, 25 grand a week will be too much for him, even if it is on a sideways move. The next thing really we can link with then, thinking about the players out of contract, and obviously there are sort of rumours, and I think I want to shout out one bloke called Greg Spires, who's been writing some really good stuff about potential recruitment. And he's done a few blogs on sort of centre midfielders, defence midfielders, goalkeepers, right backs and so on. Where do you think in particular we need to strengthen, and how many players do you think we need?
Well, I'll come in because, quite frankly, I talk over everyone anyway, so I might as well get out of the way early. I'd go for Johansson at Rotherham as a keeper. I like him. I think he's decent. I don't know what the stats say about him, but he's good with his feet, good shot stopper. And I'd go for him. Strikers, God only knows. I mean, everyone seems to be able to find strikers apart from us. But there's going to be, that might be a loan move, like at Tottenham or Arsenal, whatever, I don't know. But there's got to be people out there. And that's the good thing about the new regime, the new way we're doing things. You kind of think, well, who are they going to put in? Is it going to be a Scandinavian? Is it going to be somebody from the lower leagues? I don't think it's going to be old has-beens, and that's a bloody good starting point. But yeah, definitely forward, couple of wingers, couple of fullback, just boost the squad really. But definitely need a. I'd say we probably need two keepers, first team wise, and yeah, and maybe another holding mid, just if we can't keep Alderhane, which I think we will. By the way, I think we'll probably get him for another season. I can't see why not. He's enjoyed his time. He's revitalized his career. Why not? And as you say, he's brought out the best of the players around him. And hopefully we can get wee Paul Smith firing on cylinders next season with more people in the box where he can do a wee bit of damage when he comes off the bench. Next, George.
Well, I agree with you. I think keeper, well, you have to get in a goalkeeper, I think. And I don't see why we couldn't get someone like Carl Rushworth on loan from Brighton. We have done quite a lot of business with Brighton in the past. But the rest of it is just the unknown, I think.
The only one. They always won.
Yeah, no, they do. You look at the players they sent out on loan to other clubs and they've been incredible. And you look at us, Kazenga, Luwa, Saka at one point, wasn't it? God knows. But no, the rest is the unknown. You can come out like giving names of players who can come. Like I've seen some Belgian winger, Verlinden or something like that linked to us. But it is exciting. It's very much exciting. And if you're a Premier League club and you compare the start of last season and the start of what will be next season, it's such an appeal to come to QPR now because you've got Marty playing a modern-day style football. Like, if you're like an Arsenal or something, you've got Arteta in charge, similar sort of Spanish sort of football, you'd love to send a youngster out on loan to QPR. Like, whereas at the start of this season, like, listen, you got the run through walls for you sort of football, and everyone knows my opinions on Ainsworth football, so I'm not going to go into that now, but you wouldn't want to send a youngster out on loan, and I think that's a bit. You look at it and you think Timur Abunim at the end of last season against Burnley not getting a single pass in a game. Why would you want to send your young Premier League midfielder out to that where you could easily just get injured or something like that? I definitely think we'll explore the foreign market. I think Marty will know some players from Scandinavia. So I think we'll get in about 8 or 9. I do think like there's going to be a massive squad overhaul. But I think a lot of it this year, and I think it'll be really exciting, will be down to data. There'll be a load of players who we've never heard of. And you look at, you've got Nuri's background. I think Marty will work closely with him and the data to get in the players. You've seen it at Brighton and Brentford. I know they're different because you've got the betting stuff and everything like that. But it'll be exciting to use some of the data, modern styles, rather than just getting in the same old English Championship League One sort of players. Like you've seen at other clubs, these clubs bring in complete unknowns and they turn out to be incredible. So hopefully it can finally be QPR for once.
Who do you reckon, Jack?
Just mainly bring in some of the youth, I think. Because I have been going to a few of the youth games on like a Tuesday night, Sunday night. And to be honest, they play really decent. But yeah, just bring in, as what George and Paul Finney said, just bring in some Premier League youth players in. Get them to like build their careers up. And yeah. Just get my point of view, just get youth players in and young players who wants to play, who wants to run up the field, who wants to score. Yeah.
So out of the games you've seen, Jamie, is there anyone you've seen there who stands out who you think can potentially make that step up? Because it is a big step up from that development to playing Championship football. I mean, we know Collie's done it, we know Armstrong's done it, but yeah. Anyone else that you've seen who you think could potentially make the step up?
Well, I don't know let me rephrase that, sorry. I'm not sure on who plays, but for what I'm seeing in my two games of watching the development squad play, I think anyone in that team would deserve to play for the starting 11 for the actual squad. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's hard, really. I just want surprises and someone that can play. And I mean, yeah, I'm happy with the squad we've got now. And I wouldn't really want to change anyone to replace anyone. And I think what the chemistry we've got now is really good. And hopefully we can keep as much players as we can. Oh, sorry, can.
He's going to do the move.
No, I agree. I think This isn't really transfers based, but one thing I have seen recently, quite a few trialists for the development squad. I saw that was it Burnley striker Vaughan or something like that, and you had a good, was his name Jones or something like that the other day, chipped the keeper. So I think it's good. Like, we're bringing in these players from these Premier League leftovers, and I think that's definitely the sort of way we should go. Like, I've explained on the podcast before my views on our academy in the past few years. If you're using Osman Kakai as our role model, well, that says a lot. So I think over the next few years, if you can start to see a couple of the B team players make the step up, because look, you look at it and you think some of the standout players throughout the last couple of years, you've got Eze, he's come in from all these different Premier League clubs. You got Cher, was originally at Arsenal. So he never come for our youth system. And you've got the likes of Armstrong, as you rightfully said, from Shamrock Rovers. So none of these players have actually been at QPR their whole lives. So I think that is definitely the route we should be going down. I think under Nuri, like, that is the route we'll be going down. And it just shows the positive step forward at the club.
Simon, to your own
Yeah, I
question.
agree with that. And I think, yeah, realistically, you got, yeah, definitely one goalkeeper. I'm not entirely sure Walshaw, Salomon are ready yet. But I mean, it's an interesting one. And we'll talk about Coventry soon, whether you give Walsh a run out of Coventry. But we'll talk about that later. I think, you sir, I mean, to be honest, left back, you've got Larkesh, Fox, and Powell. To be honest, we could probably prioritise more centre halves. Obviously, Cook's got another year, and you can see that he's pretty strong. I think it'll depend on whether Clark Salter goes. You've got probably we might need another right back so that Dunn can cover on the right hand side, and someone for Reggie Cannon. That's potentially an option, and that's interesting that he came with a reasonable fanfare in October, and he's almost gone off the sort of radar, although second half against Hull, I thought he did all right. Again, depends if Willock goes. You've got probably two or three attacking players and probably a couple of strikers, realistically. Because again, we never know. Dykes has a good Euros. He might well go. And that leaves us Armstrong and Frey. And I think by all accounts, Frey could well be here next season. And look, I'm excited to see what we've done with Anderson. I think with the pre-season, he's going to be, you can see he's probably a level up, but I think he's needed the fitness. So yeah, it's going to be exciting times. And again, I think as George rightly says, it's that venture into the unknown. It's even if it's a player we've never heard of, that's quite exciting to see.
It makes a nice change rather than a Bissingua or someone like that coming in just to rinse us, which was annoying. Yeah, it's quite a positive podcast. This is unusual. Right, Simon, carry on. Sorry.
So I think now that we're relieved and we can start potentially thinking about Birmingham or Plymouth going down, Coventry's going to be a great day. It's going to be almost like a party atmosphere, which, given everything we've gone through, and I know some people will say, "Well, why are we celebrating survival?" I think to be fair, from where we were, we if we can't celebrate that and can't celebrate the fact that we've gone, pretty much all of us at the beginning of the season were thinking that we're pretty shoo-in to be one of the bottom three. I think it is something this time we can genuinely celebrate. Last season at Stoke, I didn't think there was much to celebrate at all, apart from relief. Whereas here, you.
Oh, he's frozen just at the wrong
So,
time. Back.
yeah, absolutely. And
And he's not back. Wow. Someone's using his internet. You need to get that hamster to run faster, Simon. It's just not doing it. Carry on, back in the room.
sorry. So, yeah, what's people's expectations at Coventry? What do they want to see? Do they want to see the strongest side playing? Do they want to see a couple of squad players playing? What's people's thoughts?
I don't give a shit. Next.
George.
I'm there for the party, to be honest with you.
Yep.
Obviously, you'll want to win on the pitch, and you always want to win a game of football, especially after such a roller coaster of a season. You'd love to finish it on a high, unlike last year, losing 3-0 at home to Bristol City. But I think You made the point about Walsh earlier. I don't see why you wouldn't start Begovic. Like, if it is his last game for the club, I think it's only fair he gets that moment. He has been our club captain throughout the whole year. So
That's important.
I think it'd be nice to see Odoma get on the pitch. I think it's a bit too fast saying start him, but I think it'd be nice to get Odoma on the pitch. I don't see why you bring in someone like Kekai. Like, I don't see the appeal in that. Yes, it could probably be his last, it would be his last game for the club,
Don't
but
think he will. I think he's
yeah, no,
gone.
he hasn't been in the squad the last few months, and I don't see why, just because it's the end of the season, you would change it up. And I don't think Marty's like that. Like, maybe under an Ainsworth, you could argue he'd bring in a couple of youth players because he's got that sort of managerial persona. But under Marty, I think he'll want to finish the season strong. He'll want to put his best side out there and give the fans really what they deserve. Obviously, we had it at home against Leeds, but they'd love to finish the season off with an away win at Coventry.
Can I just
Sorry,
come back?
Jack.
I do care. I want to be so happy and so drunk that I'm amazed that I recognize anyone.
I want a Dykes hat trick, is what I want.
That'd be good. I think it'd be good to bring in a couple of kids, but yeah, I think just say just get the season away, just get it out of the way. Just get it out of the way.
Would a Dykes hat trick put him on double digits?
I'm not
Ye
sure.
yes, it would,
It? Yeah.
because if you count cup games.
Oh, but it's a league game,
See?
isn't it? But we'll do that. Can we count friendlies as well, just to make it look better?
Yeah, because
But look
yeah,
at
he'd
our friendlies,
actually, he
5-0
got one
loss to
against Wimbledon.
Oxford.
He got one against Wimbledon. So if we use that logic, absolutely. Yeah, let's go with that.
Exactly. Jimmy.
As long as the sun's shining, I've got my Marty Suárez cardboard cut out. I'm happy. I know Coventry lost their last five recent games, including Man United. But yeah, it'll be a good game. And like everyone else, just there for the party. And wherever we'll be, we're staying up.
Happy days. Can I agree
I think the morale around their ground will be quite low, to be honest with you.
think
The
so,
expect
George.
yeah, well, the expectation they had this year, they've got Ellis Sims and Hadji Wright up front, for Christ's sake, and they're what, on 66 points finishing? Like, if they lose to us, they could finish 9 points out of the playoffs. If you look at that, the expectation they're coming into this year, you'd be disappointed. Like, listen, you can't fault their cup run. They got so unlucky against Man United, but I think their fans won't be up for it, will they? Like, that a season where I saw like loads of these like podcasts and everything, like putting them in the top six. So I think they'll be more disappointing than we think they would be.
Not photos.
I mean, fair play to Coventry. I think, to be fair, when we talk about Hadji Wright, they did sell Diokeres and they did sell Hamer for big money. So in a way, this was a bit of a transition season for them. And yes, they've been slightly inconsistent, particularly since around January time. But look, there's quality there, and you don't make an FA Cup semi-final the way they've done without being a decent side. And as I say, it was absolutely appalling the way that goal got chalked out. No way in the world, if that was the other way round, you'd have had the VAR on a Man United goal whatsoever. And yeah, it will be. They will feel a little bit flat, and they are potentially going to be another side in a bit of transition, particularly with Callum O'Hare going. That's going to be a big blow for them. But yeah, I think it's lovely that the fact we're going to a game really, really chilled out, really, really relaxed, and frankly, not worrying about anything else. But in the spirit of other teams worrying, there's four teams down there: Sheffield Wednesday, Blackburn, Plymouth, Birmingham. Realistically, it's probably Birmingham and Plymouth. Two questions, really. First of all, who do you think will go down? And secondly, I suspect this will be unanimous. Who would you want to go down out of them two?
I think Birmingham will go down, and I want Birmingham to go down.
Well, I've been saying for the whole second half of the season, Plymouth. Last time I was on the pod, I got asked, and they were about what, eight points away from the relegation zone. So for my look, it'd be incredible if they went down. But I'd love Birmingham to go down, to be honest with you, and I think they will. I don't see them winning on the final day against Norwich. Norwich, I think it is.
Yeah.
Have they got? Yeah.
No.
So I don't see them winning that one. So I think it will be Birmingham and Huddersfield.
What do you reckon, Jamie?
I think Birmingham and Huddersfield.
Yeah, I think the concern you have, I think the concern with Birmingham is Birmingham can't even beat Rotherham and Huddersfield. So what they're going to be like potentially in a high pressure game against Norwich, who are in the playoffs, I understand that. And also I know Hull are potential could potentially make the playoffs if they win and West Brom lose. But yeah, it's like love Birmingham to go down. And as I say, don't mind going to St Andrews and that, but yeah, we'd really like Birmingham to go down for what's happened with Eustace and the fact that they thought the 22-23 QPR model was the way to go. And yeah, probably in balance, I'd probably say that I think Plymouth will stay up by the skin of their teeth.
And I feel like they deserve it more than Birmingham, though, don't they? Birmingham have put it on themselves. You could argue with us last year that we had Mick Beale snaking us and leaving, and then Critchley was always going to be a doomed job. But they put it on themselves, sacking Eustace when they're in the play, absolutely ridiculous. And then Wayne Rooney, wow. Well, we won't talk about that rain too much. So I think I'll certainly have a chuckle when they hopefully go down.
The other interesting one, I suppose, before we do the R's end, is we've got a bizarre situation in the playoffs in the Championship where potentially you've got none of the top four coming into any sort of form whatsoever, assuming Ipswich get promoted and West Brom end up making it. Who do you think's going up out of them four? Go on,
Oof.
Paul.
I think I would like, well, anyone but Leeds, really, I suppose, would be the absolute answer. It's a real tricky one. I think Norwich have got the form that will probably carry them over the line. But yeah, wouldn't it be great to see Leeds going their way out of the and they're so cocky the other day. What do you reckon, Hugo? I've got the dog here, Minnie. What do you reckon? No, okay.
I
He hits
couldn't agree
Leeds.
more.
No, he hits it. But I mean, it's West Brom Coutts. They've got West Brom's another one, though, that I just don't get. They've got so much quality, so much ability, and they just don't seem to be able to click. As you said, they're all out of form, which is really weird. So, yeah.
The danger West Brom have had, and it was same with Middlesbrough last season, wasn't it? They've been in the playoffs for about a good 2 or 3 months and have been pretty confident that they're going to go there. So it's difficult. Similar to us when we got promoted by hook or by crook, where we were there for a while, and it's difficult when you're in that sort of zone to actually try and raise it for a playoff. So there's a similar sort of story to Southampton as well. It's yeah, I've got to say I couldn't call it. I really couldn't call it out of any of the four. But yes, the principle of it not being Leeds, yeah, it does appeal to me.
Well, I've had a feeling for a while. I think that I don't know why, but I think Southampton will go up in the playoffs. I think the quality they have in their squad, I think they'll pull it out when it's needed. But one thing I will say is that if West Brom do make the playoffs, because obviously you've got the ever presence of Hull sitting in that spot just outside, I think Carlos Corberan will set up his team very well for a playoff game. Like I've seen it before. He just sets them up perfectly, I think, and he'll know exactly how to play it. And as you said, the quality they got in their squad, it could well be them. I could make an argument for anyone. I just don't think Leeds personally. I think finishing third place is always a doomed spot in the playoffs. I think it like especially the way they've lost it, their morale is going to be so low, and that Farke's got such a lot of players to pick up in a short space of time. So I just don't see him going up.
Like that idea that we do go. Yes, we do.
Drink, Jamie.
I reckon West Brom. I think especially when they played us at home, the goals they scored is more likely like Premier League worthy goals. And even though we did lose against Southampton, I mean when we played them at St Mary's, we did have a good opportunity to come back. But yeah, it's exciting and yeah. But my guess will be West Brom to go up.
Cool. So before we go on to R's end, sorry, Paul, I feel like I've taken over here. But predictions,
Well
what are
done.
we what, what are we predicting for Saturday apart from I really don't care what the result is, we're just there for a great time.
I think we'll win 3-0. And I think it'll be a nice end of season relaxation day. And I'm hoping to make it to the bar that plays a lovely scat of music and have a nice couple of drinks. And just, I mean, I'm just so relieved we're not going there. And I'll be bringing bog roll. Do you know what I mean? It's just so, I think I'm just so relieved that we don't need to do anything, that I don't really care. Not in a nasty way, because we should always care. But yeah, a good 3-0 win would set the summer up lovely. I'm going for that.
I'd love to say 3-0 Dykes hat trick, as I called it on here earlier. But no, I really don't think so. I think it will be, as much as I'd love a brilliant performance from us and us going out with a bang, I think it'll be a 0-0, 1-0 sort of game personally. And honestly, I'm not complaining. I think 0-0, it's just gonna be fun, isn't it? I don't care about the result. Yeah, it's
going to
be a laugh.
Right, Jamie?
I'm going to say 2-1 QPR. As long as we keep the squad on what we played against Leeds, as long as we keep the momentum, I'm going to say 2-1 QPR, last-minute goal for us as well, which will be an absolute dreamer. But yeah, I reckon 2-1 QPR.
No, it's funny, I've got 2-1 QPR in my mind as well, so... Yeah, either way though, I genuinely do not care.
Fair enough. Can't really argue with that, can you, Hugo? Has anyone noticed, by the way, him being mauled by the dog? He thinks he's a Hull fan. That's a joke there somewhere. Carry on. I know, I just made that joke. No one
so am I now fully taking over the host?
Well, I'm looking at the problem. I've been set up a dog. No, I think we're nigh on to the R's end, Simon. So how you want to do that? I will leave to your glorious hands.
Yeah, first one for me is I want to flag up, if you pardon the pun, the work of not flags during the course. Shocking. The work of Loft Flags during the course of this season and some of the work they've done with regard to getting some atmosphere into the lower loft has been genuinely impressive. And we know one of the people who ends up making the flags, and he's got a website up which is encouraging people to help donate for the work that they've done. So they've got some banners ready for Saturday. They've got some balloons which are going to be going down, which is really good to see. So if you want to donate to them, and let me check if I can read. If you can read linktr.ee/loftflags, I'm sure someone else will confirm that at some stage. Give them a donation, because the work they've done this season has been absolutely brilliant.
Yes, to be fair, we had the lads on the podcast. Oh God, when was it? A few years ago, and they were having meetings with Lee Hughes, and quite not sure how it was going to go, because it was a time of the safe standard, and everyone was kind of saying, when he brings like safe standard, it was like, well, this is a family standard, you can't do this. So the fact that they've managed to get the safe standard in the family area, and then I guess they were then told, you've got to utilize this, you've got to make this work. My God, have they worked hard. I mean, Jesus wept. I mean, it's just unbelievable the work they've done. And I think they deserve a lot of praise. And I think they deserve a free season ticket each, actually, if I'm being honest with you. I know Cameron comes down from Scotland for every game. And I just think they've just given us a wee bit in a non-tacky way, because the important thing is you look at other clubs and they're manufacturing it. And then it goes dead quiet and it doesn't work. But they've kept it going, and fair play to every single one of them. And hopefully we'll get a podcast with them on it soon and we can have a proper chat with them. But yes, they deserve all the help they can get, and support them in any way you can, because at the end of the day, they've been outstanding. And that's not my odds end, by the way. This is Simon still. I'm not nicking your glory, Simon.
I'll go next then. I don't want to... I didn't want to nick Simon, so I was going to let him go first.
Thank you, George. Thank you, George. You're a good man.
He's actually once. Cheering. For people who can't see him, Simon is... I think it's because someone went first before me. Is this rare? That'll be frozen, though. Carry on, George.
No, but my main R's end has to be Albert Adoma, in my opinion. The work he has, like done behind the scenes at QPR, as much as on the pitch, has been incredible. Like, you can just tell in the changing room, he's such a character. The experience he's passed down to the youngsters has been incredible. I actually had the chance of meeting him a good few times. Once I played a game of Panna against him, one, he's never been the same since. But he's just done so much for the club, and I think it was so nice to see him after the game at Leeds, dancing his stuff and everything. And he has scored some crucial goals for us. We are forgetting that. Stoke away last year. You got Coventry that time. So I think the service he's done for our club and the championship as a whole has been incredible. 525 appearances is absolutely immense. So well done, Albert Adoma. And I'm sure wherever he goes next year, he'll do well. And whatever he does in football in the future, he'll be... It'll be the club he ends up at. It'll be an absolute pleasure to have him there. So thank you, Albert, at the end of the day.
Excellent. Jimmy.
What Simon didn't mention is how Loftflag's done the memorial for Danny Bowles against West Brom, which I absolutely loved. And It was a privilege taking one of them banners home and sticking up on my wall. Concluding what Simon and George were saying, the Loftflag's done a brilliant job from what I was seeing on TV, from what I'm seeing at the grounds, at the games. Thank you, Albert Adoma, for what he's done. Hopefully, I know a lot of people saying, do coaching staff for QPR. Not sure about that, but I really want him to do coaching staff at QPR. But yeah, just as a thank you for Albert Adoma, and well done to the Loftflags and Terry and everyone else.
Well, but that leaves me then, as everyone else has gone before me, which I've got to be honest with you. I'm all for this against traditional things, but this is you might have gone too far, Simon. You might have ruined my thoughts. You might have taken off my train of thought. Now, to be honest, we've got another podcast, which is next week, which is going to be a proper end of season review, and we'll say a lot of things. But my odds end is just, I can't believe that people still listen to the podcast and the support we get. And I'm just amazed that people still want to listen to it and like it. And just a thank you to everyone who supports it. I can't ask for any more. None of us can. We do this. We talk a lot of... It's been hard this season. We've had a lot of interesting pods. George has been on them. I've been on them. Simon's been on them when we didn't see any light in the tunnel. And I think Marty Cervantes, I would dedicate this podcast to him. And I would say thank you. Thank you for coming here. Thank you for saving us. And thank you for giving us hope again, because that's been missing a long time at QPR. Not just because he saved us this season. I think he brings something really different that we haven't had for a long time from any manager. And I'm really looking forward to see what he does with his own players. So, yeah, mine is dedicated to Marcos Fuentes, and thank you for coming. And also to anyone who's had the misfortune to go to games with me, in Cindy and Alan and Simon, I apologise for the absolute shit I inflict on you in my conversation. But you asked me to come. It's your own fault. You need to find new friends. But thank you, everyone who listens. It's much, much appreciated. There you go, Simon. A sensible Oz end.
Good one. You can finish it.
Well, okay. The other thing I'd like to say about the Oz end is what I want next year, and this is just a personal plea, can we have referees and linesmen, or whatever they're called these days, with eyes? Not glasses. They need thickened eyes. The absolute shit show of officials we get in this league is a piss take. It's ridiculous. And to say that the punishment is that you have to go into the championship says it all from the idiots that run off our game. Stop sending us idiots to affiliate games, because it's not fair. And then at the end of the season, they go to Wembley and go, it's the £160 million game. But it's the same, you don't give a shit before it gets anywhere near Wembley, and you give us absolute tools to do the frigging refereeing with all season. Pack it in, you're a disgrace. Well, people, that was my little rant. I feel better now. But it's true, though, isn't it? They're all shit. I mean, if you had to go for a referee of the season, honestly, you couldn't. I mean, the Squirrel did a better job a few years ago, in my humble opinion. But there you go. I hate them.
So I'm not on the agenda for next week, referee of the season.
Yeah, but no, because the last 30 seconds, there isn't one. Probably the best one, fair enough, was Bournemouth when that woman did it in the FA. Mm. That was probably the best one.
I don't think Leeds was that bad. Leeds,
yeah, Darren Bond was very good. I thought he was excellent.
All right. So already you make it. Oh dear. Oh, I feel like I'm talking to the FA now. Yes. Okay.
I am a qualified ref, Paul, so don't come at me slagging off refs, I think.
Oh, I forget you're a qualified ref.
Yeah.
Well, you should go very well in the game because the bar is so freaking low that I look forward to seeing you. No, but they are, George, you can't tell me that half
No,
these.
I completely agree. That's shit. I couldn't, and we haven't had Keith Stroud this year, and it's unbelievable.
What annoys me,
You wait, he's got the playoff final. He'll have the playoff final.
Oh, God. It's when Lionels don't even flag anymore, do they? They just look at the referee dumbstruck. Like, I know I'm here for a reason, but I've kind of forgotten what this thing's for. And then, oh, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, rant about referees is over. It's supposed to be a positive podcast, and I'm ruining it. But listen, thank you everyone for listening. Excellent debut, Jimmy. We'll get you on again next
Yeah,
season. I
thanks
hope
for having me on my first podcast.
you're more than
It's
welcome. Next
been
season, come on, we'll be
outrageous.
champions. It'll be fine. No
And
pressure.
thanks, Simon, as well for having me on. And, as much as how many times I've asked Paul for having me on, it's a pleasure being on here. And yeah, hopefully I'll do more with you guys soon.
You will. The problem with me is I forget. I don't even know at least. Yes. Simon's much more better at organising these things. But George, you've been an absolute legend all season. It's been a joy to have you on. It's been a joy to know you and your father. And I'm pleased that you have a nice summer with your GCSEs. And all you got to worry about now is not mucking them up.
Oh, well, I'm not worrying about it at all. Don't worry about me. Probably the most least stressed guy ever. But
What do
honestly,
you want
thanks.
to do when you grow up, George? I've always wanted to ask somebody that question.
Football journalist, really? Yeah, that's my goal. That's what I want to go uni and do. And yeah, I don't see why I can't do that in life. So.
Know, can I? Because most of them are crap as well. All they know about is a premiership. I mean, Jesus Christ. Anyway, yes, but you'll be fine, George. Yeah, I can't believe you've been doing these podcasts for years, and you're the most sensible one on it, and I'm proving that by talking over you. So, yes, good luck with your exams, George. Hope it goes well. Jimmy, have a great summer. Enjoy yourself. Get ready for next season. And
Thanks,
Simon,
Andrew.
I'll be back next week, Simon.
Yeah, and we'll see you. Yeah, hopefully see you all on Saturday at Coventry.
Indeed. No pressure. Enjoy the day out. Have a great time. Enjoy yourselves.